Hey, welcome back to the roundtable. Sorry we're late. We were taking selfies. Okay, the inaugural Phoenicia Fringe Festival starts July 5th and will feature a number of solo performances, including storytelling, one-person shows, and experiential events with a focus on comedy. Each night features two different solo acts, each about an hour long. Each show is only performed once during the festival, so audiences will never see the same thing twice, even if you want to. We have a trio of guests to tell us what is happening as part of Phoenicia Fringe. Phoenicia Playhouse Artistic Director Michael Cagle is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And two of the folks who will be providing the entertainment over the Phoenicia Fringe Festival, Dean Temple and Doug Motel, join us this morning.
Hello.
Thank you for
inviting
us.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. The Phoenicia Fringe Festival takes place July 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So another way of saying that is the next two weekends. Michael Cagle, tell us about how all this came about. This is year number one, yes?
This is year number one, yeah.
Okay.
We were just telling the story in the green room.
We missed it.
Yeah, see? I'll tell it again.
We don't have mics in the green room.
They should broadcast.
Yeah, so exactly. You're going to have to say
all
it again.
All over again. So I, as well as being the artistic director, I direct a lot of the plays at the theater. And I was looking for an actor for a show last year, and a friend of mine gave me Dean's name and number, and I called him, and he said that he couldn't do it because he was doing the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. And I was like, what is the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival? And we talked about it, and I thought, this is a great idea. So I sort of stuck in the back of my mind for about a year and a half or 2 years, and when I had the opportunity to put this together, we did it. Our theater is trying to sort of branch out to do more things than just straight plays and musicals and comedies and things, and so we're trying to do more sort of event programming, and this is sort of one of our very first things that we're doing.
Okay, so what makes this an event? Tell us how it's all going to roll out over the two weekends.
Well, as you said earlier in the introduction, we're doing twelve performers from New York City and Hudson Valley. Probably 12 of the best performers that are around. These guys are one performer is a 6-time Moth Story champion. One is a 4-time Moth Story champion, Story Slam champion. We've got these guys who've won multiple awards for their shows, which they can tell you about. But we've got people who've won, you know, lots of fringe festivals over the past year or two. So we brought them all up here, and each show is two different performances a night, 1 hour apiece, and it's going to be a party.
All right. So Dean Temple, tell me what people can expect from your show.
Well, my show is about having the U.S. government come after me for $19 million I don't have.
Okay. is that a true story?
It is a true story.
All right. So, what happened?
So those stories about the young kid who's super inspired to do something like Billy Elliot? He becomes a dancer in the middle of a blue-collar neighborhood, and nobody can figure out what he's doing, and he's ridiculed and whatever, but he doesn't care. He pursues that like nobody's business until that's what he becomes. Well, what if that kid grew up and listened to all those voices and gave up what he was passionate about to pursue a normal life and make a normal income and be stable? And because he did that, the U.S. government came after him for $19 million. I was that kid. And I realized when this happened, I spent a lot of time with my mentor. His name was Zachary Soloff. He actually had a place in Saratoga Springs. He was the choreographer of the Metropolitan Opera Ballet. And he was Billy Elliot. He was the kid that wanted to be a dancer from the time he was 7. At one point, he looks at me and he goes, "Why aren't you ever willing to suffer for something you want?" And it sank in that I had been doing a substantial amount of suffering for things that I really never cared about and never wanted. And at one point, you go, "Well, when am I going to do this? And if I don't do it now, am I ever going to do this?" So I wrote this show specifically to take to Edinburgh Fringe, and I've been spending the past 2 years sort of building it up to that level, working through different fringe festivals, going to Pittsburgh, being in the Frigid Festival in New York City, the Solocom Festival in New York City, and it's a process. That's what the show is about. The show is not just about getting in trouble with the government. It's about discovering through that process the things that you really care about and want to work toward, because who wants to fight the U.S. government for $19 million for something they never wanted to begin with?
What branch of the government was after you for $19 million?
Well, it was the Federal Trade Commission and the U.S. Department of Justice, but because the show is going to be in Edinburgh, I've simplified the show to just the Department of Justice because there's less explaining involved.
Okay. All right. Everything okay now?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, things are going very well now.
I'm not
going to
ask you if the show has a happy ending, but you're doing okay now.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. everything's good. Doug Mattel, tell us what your show's about.
Mind Salad is about a man who...
Mind Salad.
Mind Salad.
Yep. M-I-N-D. Mind Salad.
Yep. MindSalad.com.
Okay.
#MindSalad.
MindSalad.com. Yes.
Mind Salad is about a man's journey trying to escape his inner critic. And so he devises a plan to move to Hollywood to escape his ego. And it's basically a play where I play all the characters.
So what was the point where you said, okay, I have to do this show?
I was living in Los Angeles, and I had become friends with Marianne Williamson. This was in the 1980s. She's actually a candidate for president, which is blowing all of our minds.
Yes. Yeah. We've heard this.
Yeah.
And I'll have follow-up questions in a moment.
Yep. It was at the beginning of her career, and she used to go around in little venues and talk about, basically the concept of love and fear, the same thing that she's talking about now and how she's trying to inject it into politics. And as a playwright and as an artist, I set myself a challenge. Could I make something very funny and entertaining that dealt with the issues of choosing between love and fear without an audience knowing that I was, I had such a, sinister motive to change the way they looked at the world? And so I set out to do that. And, a friend of mine was a director, Michael McKetty, and he really encouraged me. And so then before I knew it, it's just started snowballing. Marianne had developed something called the Los Angeles Center for Living, which was a home that she had secured, she had purchased for where people with life-threatening illnesses could live. And so I went and did a reading of it there. And then, it just sort of snowballed. And before I knew it, we had a production in Los Angeles, and I was playing, all these, these characters, and we got a lot of great press and award, attention, and it ran for a long time. And then I moved on and I wrote other plays and had other experiences. And then just out of the blue, I decided last year to resurrect this play. So I took it out of my trunk and I looked at it and I realized none of it was particularly dated. It was all still relevant. There's still, apparently, the ego still is running around. And I started getting invited to perform it again. I just did it in Los Angeles and in Ojai and San Francisco just a couple months ago. And now I'm going to Eastern Europe and doing it. And then Michael was nice enough to invite me to do it in Phoenicia.
Did you change it at all?
I was surprised by how little. Yeah, I mean, there are certain references to technology. There's texting, there's some little nods to 2019. But for the most part, it's pretty much the same story.
But it's been around. So what was the year when you met Marianne Williamson and started? What year was that?
That was 1986.
Oh, so that's a long time.
Yeah, it was before she wrote a book. In fact, I remember the day she came over for lunch and said, these people want me to write a book and I'm thinking about it, but I'm afraid that if I do it, I'll become famous. And I don't know if fame is something that I really want. And it was a very interesting lunch.
Seems like you changed her mind.
Yes. She changed her mind.
All right. Michael, tell us what makes a good fringe festival.
Variety. I think that one of the things that we've got going here is these different people are all telling very, very different stories. And I think it's really interesting that you can actually go and see someone and get like a little our slice of their who they are and what they've gone through and their perspective. And, you know, and these are all polished sort of stories. So it's not like it's just some random conversation. And I mean, we've got some really crazy things. We've got one night there's a guy named Rich Templeton who comes in and with a piece called The Peace. And he explained to me that when people walk in the door, they're going to get an American flag bandana, a glow stick, and then he's going to turn out the lights. And that's so it's going to go. So that's probably the fringiest thing that we're doing. And then there's
I'm sorry. So you give him a glow stick and then you turn out the lights.
Yeah, give an American flag bandana.
Okay.
I don't know what that's for.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Glow stick.
Yeah.
And the lights go out. I mean, he warns you before the lights go out. So, you know, and there's things that are that sort of off the wall. And then we have Richard Cardillo, who is a six-times Moth Story Slam champion, who tells a story basically from when he started out, his journey from becoming a monk to an out gay activist. So, you know, the stories go all over the map. Some of them are about their families and donating kidneys, and it's, you know, just crazy stuff, and it's going to be different every night, which is the fun of it.
That is the fun of it. And for you, for the two of you, and I'll let you both weigh in, and this is our last question before we go, but having been a part of many fringe festivals and this type of thing, what in your mind makes a good one? And I assume variety, but having people come out and experience this in the truest way that it can be experienced.
I think what I've enjoyed most about fringe festivals has always been the connections that I've made with artists at them. I know that's not something from the audience's perspective, but people are in fringe festivals and doing this work because the work's very important to them as an artist. And they're not trying to be commercial. What they're trying to do is connect with people in a meaningful way. And they're doing that in a way, fringe allows people to do that in a way that's very true to who they are. They're not having to adhere to any specific things that say a larger production company would want you to do. You're able to do those things in very personal ways. Those connections are probably, to me, what I like best about fringe festivals.
What I think is powerful about this, you know, type of a festival is, you know, there's nothing really like people being in a room together and sharing an experience. And for some people, that's sort of fading, you know, some cultures that's fading away, getting together and having live theater. And a festival makes it super accessible because, you know, there's something different every night. The commitment of time is very short. And so you can literally, you know, come to Phoenicia for the weekend and have a very multiple, you know, very full theater experience.
The Phoenicia Fringe Festival takes place July 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then again on the 12th, 13th, and 14th. PhoeniciaPlayhouse.com for more information. Michael, Dean, Doug, thank you all very much for being with us. A great pleasure. Have a beautiful festival and two weekends of fun. Thank you.
It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.